What's up, guys? Welcome back to the intern office. We are finally back. All our fans have been asking for us to come back, and we are finally here.
Let's go. All of our fans.
All of our fans have been waiting. Yeah. We teased it like 3 months ago on Instagram. Never did anything, but we're actually here.
Oh, we're doing something right now.
We're here right now.
Yeah.
Even Seth's here.
I am sitting on the couch.
Dude, we all sit on the couch.
Guys, we're so back. We are so back.
Yeah. Well, we need to set the ground straight.
Set the ground straight.
You know, there's only one intern in this circle now.
Yeah.
It's just me.
We're not the intern office.
Seth's full time now.
And we're not in an office, and we're also not interns except Carson.
Yeah. I'm an intern, and we're not even at the church. We're at my house. So, like, we're kind of lying, but you know what? We're not changing the
name. We just need to do a big old life update.
Yeah, everybody gets to update what they're doing.
Let's update each other. Go, Seth.
Okay. I work full-time at Grace Baptist Church now. So I'm not an intern. I'm just a full-time intern. Yeah, I am not in school anymore. I graduated successfully. When's the last time we did a podcast? Like last spring?
I think it was
like
right
spring?
Before spring break.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I graduated and I got my degree, my 2-year audio degree. And now I work at Grace. And that's basically it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. I mean, keep it concise. Let's not spend forever, but I guess I'll go because I started talking. So I was previously interning at Interstate Mechanical Contractors. I did that through August, and now I am back at home sweet home, the University of Tennessee. I am in engineering, and I hate it. But
that's what you want.
Dude,
right?
If you hate it, I heard going for a master's is actually the solution.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's exactly what you want.
So I'm considering that. Not dead set, but I'm a junior, so I got time. But yeah, I mean, I'm not working at Grace anymore just because time. Like, engineering is not the easiest thing I've ever done. And, yeah. Also, Seth just took a sip of some tea.
I didn't. It's too hot.
Oh. Okay. He looks like he really did not like it.
If you guys ever want some tea, call up Carson Burnett because he is a tea connoisseur.
That's
true.
I mean, it is.
That's a life update about you. Big tea guy.
I've been a tea guy for a while. Life update. So, yeah, I'm still an intern. Still doing school at Liberty. It's been a lot. I should be done in a year, hopefully, because I've been grinding it out. Haven't stopped school since last Christmas. So I've just been going crazy with that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just been going steady. Been working, doing school, trying to get that done. And, yeah, also I'm helping with the youth band now at the church. And that's been cool. But,
aw, yeah.
Yeah. So the burning question I really want to know today is,
dude, what is the burning
dude,
question?
I know you've been thinking about this for a long time.
It's the burning question on the heart of hearts inside of your heart.
I've been thinking about this question since yesterday, you know.
Dude, that's like forever.
So, November 1st, me and Corey are November 1sters.
Oh, is this about the holidays?
That's why we hit it for
y'all don't know, but in my room right now, I have a TV with a big fireplace on it. And then I have a Christmas tree up and a Santa and Christmas lights. And, like, it's a winter wonderland in here.
Okay, POV, I'm walking up the stairs into Carson's room. And I hear, like, Christmas music blasting. And he is just holding, like, a garden, like, Santa statue. Just, like, up on his shoulders. And he's just smiling at me. I'm like, what is happening right now?
So,
you know what's happening.
So, the question is, November 1st, what's your answer, Seth? Are you November 1st-er?
Okay.
Here's
my thing.
Here it is.
I used to be like, no Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. No Christmas till after Thanksgiving. And usually that's kind of how my family operates. We usually put our tree up. I feel like there's like different aspects. There's like music and like decorations and stuff. We put our tree up, I think usually like after Thanksgiving. Maybe even like a little bit before, just like close to yeah. Thanksgiving, it give or take a few days. But like full on like lights and decorations, definitely like more of a December thing. In terms of music, used to be like, let's wait for Thanksgiving because it's a holiday too. But at this point, Thanksgiving is pretty much just pre-Christmas. Like, it's just the Christmas pre-game. Like,
yeah.
And at this point, you know, I don't know. So, I don't care if people listen to Christmas music on November 1st.
See, my family are like, no Christmas till after Thanksgiving. But I'm the exact opposite. So I went and bought a Christmas tree yesterday to put up. I'm like, I'm ready. I got up yesterday morning, Mariah Carey defrosted, and listened to
Dude,
all amen.
The Christmas
Eve. Amen.
It was just jamming. And then the Justin Bieber Christmas album from like 30 years
yes.
ago is so good. And Fortnite Christmas music. You
can't
have to get
forget
that
about
out.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé. Dude. So many greats with Christmas, you know, and then The Rock Christmas like remixes.
What?
Oh,
The Rock.
There's this guy named Dan Vask. He's like from like Sweden or something. And he does like rock covers, and he has like an Old Holy Night cover, and it's incredible.
Oh, you mean rock as in the genre, not
yeah,
the person?
Yeah, I thought you said
not Dwayne.
The
not Dwayne.
Rock remixes, yeah. And I thought Dwayne.
Yeah. Sorry, not what? Dwayne. Dwayne's not on the mic yet.
Well, and then my mind went to "Mary, Did You Know"
rap song.
By
The Rock.
Yes,
dude. Yeah.
See, this is a song that's deep into the intern office lore, I guess you could say.
You yeah. could say that.
But
Carson properly using the term lore for once in his life.
Hey, but probably like. I don't know, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago almost now, we did like a Christmas concert thing, and we found this Swedish band that had one song that was in English that had like 4 monthly listeners. It was Mary, Did You Know? And it said explicit, so we're like, what in the world is this? But there was nothing explicit. It was the song word for word.
Yeah.
I guess they're just Swedish. They didn't know what it meant, and they just probably did it.
Yeah. And we devoured,
and
we ate.
We did it. We played it. It was a rock version. Go listen to it. It's only on Spotify, nothing else.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But you probably won't find it because it's so deep in the algorithm.
Yeah.
But if you do.
Dude, I'll say this, though. Like, I think that there should be a little bit more time for people to enjoy fall. Because right now in East Tennessee, it's like still cool. Or like it's not even like super, super like winter cold yet. Like it's not winter yet. It's still fall. And I think that Christmas is a very winter thing. And I think that people need to enjoy fall more.
What about people in like Florida? They just don't get to celebrate Christmas when it's not cold.
No, because that's what they're used to. But I'm saying like here, it's like I drive around and all the leaves are orange and, you know, it's a little chilly. It's like hoodie weather. It makes me still want to cling on to like some campfires and some like, I don't know, some like acoustic.
Nah.
They're just music
because the go balls, you know, that's the only
reason. Yeah, that's why they're
yes.
No, I mean, here's my thing. I do agree, but why can't you just have your cake and eat it too?
That's right.
I mean,
I can
do both.
I can see the orange trees and think, dude, fall is so awesome. And then I can feel that it's cold outside and be like, I don't want a lot for Christmas.
That's fair.
Just go in the morning and at nighttime. I'm living my best life when it's like 60. Well, I like the 40s. That's like my.
What
that
the?
Is cold, dude.
Bro, that is
what?
Freezing.
So that's when I'm like really in my element, but now it's
what?
Starting to get a little
Carson,
colder.
Have you ever heard of an ice bath? I think you'd really like it.
Yeah.
See, I like the cold. I like flannels and hoodies and being
sure,
cold
flannels and hoodies, but then like, listen, I love Christmas. I really do. But I hate the cold because I'm weird.
See, yeah. I love cold. I like
No, dude, you can't feel your hands.
Alaska.
Your hands just hurt all the time.
I would rather
go
be...
outside, pain.
Nah, not for me.
You can't do anything outside when it's cold. That's
sure
the problem.
You can ride four-wheelers in
okay.
the snow.
Me purchasing a four-wheeler.
Me purchasing a four-wheeler.
Hey, I've got one. You can come here. Well, you're already here now, but you can come here when it gets cold.
I'll come here again when it's colder.
But, dude, I love fall, though. I love fall so much. I've got this... Like pumpkin spice season isn't over.
PSL.
Okay?
PSL.
Yeah. Pumpkins are still a thing, I think, through November.
Pumpkins are still a thing.
Yeah, they still exist. It's still a flavor that you can ingest through Thanksgiving and stuff. So, whenever I think about Christmas and cold and stuff, I'm not like, my surroundings are like dead trees, overcast, freezing cold.
That just sounds like the Cold War. Like, that sounds like you're in, like,
yeah,
a Hooverville.
Tennessee turns into, though, like in December, January.
I just need snow and
lights. Snow is like, okay, you should be listening to Christmas music.
Absolutely.
Like last night, I literally came home and it was like still like 67 degrees outside. I put flannel pajama pants on, made hot chocolate, and decorated my room.
Let's go. With
Christmas
dude.
Music. No, it was awesome.
I haven't decorated, and who knows when I actually will get around to it. But I will say, as we were sitting here, Seth wasn't here yet, but Carson and I were just chilling, yapping it up, and I opened Instagram to do a little bit of dooming, and like these memories popped up, which I've never seen before, but it was a story that I posted November 2nd, 2022, and would you believe it, it's a Christmas song with the caption, "It's time," and then two... Listen, they're like a demon smiling, but I refer to them as the menace emojis. Just two little menaces just smiling at you. Just, it's time.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that. But I thought that was funny. I was just like, as we're sitting here talking about, is it time? Just, oh, it is.
It is
yeah,
time.
Yeah, two years ago says it
I'm
is.
I'm in my element, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to adjust my mic, so...
Oh, all right, cool.
Cut this out.
No.
No, we're not cutting it out. Did you think you can hide?
Yeah, it's going to sound really good.
It's supposed to. That's what we want.
Much better.
All right, so music.
Dude,
we
music.
We all like music.
Do we?
I do.
I mean, I could say I'm somewhat of an enjoyer.
You know, here's the question. Nowadays...
Wait.
You're telling me you got two questions, dude.
You got another question?
I'm sorry.
Dude, you've got them all, like, from all this time.
Dude,
I've been
frozen for the past 6 months waiting to another episode, dude. There's so many questions going on.
Are you actually Captain America? Be honest.
Be honest.
I mean...
I cracked open that iceberg and this ripped Chris Evans just fell out. His name's Carson Burnett.
Yeah, Carson actually is... 6'5" and like extremely jacked now. So.
I've never seen Steve Rogers and me in the same room. So.
That's so true.
All right. the question
music,
is, so you know music, right? So there's like a billion genres now. There's like indie rock, indie punk rock, indie metal gauge,
synth
throwback
wave.
Rock,
okay.
Synth wave.
I have a rant about this. Go ahead.
Mega metal core. Yeah, you know. Why do we need genres? Just let people make music. So do you think there should be all these subgenres of like where it gets to the minute detail of like it's this. Or like it should be like, oh, there's country, it's rock.
I think it's helpful to have labels for stuff just to like find music that you like. I think there's an ad on this like YouTube video that Carson has playing. It's like a fireplace, but he doesn't have YouTube Premium, so it's just ads all
the
time.
I'm a rogue boy.
Yeah, don't worry. I don't think anyone on the earth has that. But what was I saying?
You were saying that it's helpful.
Genres are helpful. I like it, but I think that there's some bands and artists that it would be difficult to put them in a specific genre.
21 Pilots.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
You cannot put 21 Pilots in a box. They cannot be held down.
Here's the thing, though. And this made me think about it. In an interview, lead singer of the band, Tyler Joseph, 21 Pilots, he was talking about like when he started making music, like he was kind of a sports guy. And when he started making music, he didn't really know what he was doing. And like he like didn't know that there were like rules and genres. So he just made stuff that he liked, like he thought sounded good. And he just put it out. So that's why it sounds like he doesn't, he's not like, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's different now, but when he first started making music, I thought it was interesting how he was like, you know what? Like he had this mindset of there are no rules of how this should sound and there are no rules of how this should fit into a certain genre. But genres are cool because if I'm like, you know, if I want to listen to country music, and I go on a thing on Spotify and I hit shuffle and like Metallica comes on, I'm not going to be like, country, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. So I think that's cool. But like when it gets to the point where it's like the subgenre that's like a paragraph long, like this is what it is. It's like people trying to be different. Like just make music. Like don't be like, I have to do, metalcore Gen Z backflip switch or any like just make music and say, hey, it's this, you know, just make music and have fun, you know?
Yeah, dude, why put labels on anything, you know? Why label things?
Dude,
now that's
there are these videos of like subgenre icebergs. There's like insane stuff.
That's like
the
stuff I'm just like, why?
Like, I mean,
like you're just
you don't
trying
have
to be
get
different.
Into it, I guess.
You know?
Yeah, that I do think crazy. It's funny. There's a healthy amount of labeling, for sure.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
I just think because of how in our age we compare a lot now, there's a need to like,
foreshadowing?
Be different, you know?
Subtle foreshadowing. Dude, I saw a meme about this, and it's so true. There's this thing on Spotify, and it's a playlist, and it's called POV Indie.
What?
Like, that's, you know how, like, the playlists are, like, energetic pop, or, like, you know, it'll be, like, certain genres of music that will fit into the playlist. This one's called POV : Indie. What does that mean?
Independent.
What is POV?
Indie's become a genre.
What
indie
is point
used to
of
mean,
view indie?
Indie just used to
that
be
makes
independent.
No sense.
Yeah.
Indie was, and now it's like a thing.
It's
I don't
like
know,
the
but
denomination.
Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, indie
it's like
is
non-denominational.
Just like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of like.
I love indie though.
You
but
would.
I have no idea. Sometimes it's the line is blurred.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
That is what's weird about genres is like. The more specific you get, yeah, you can find specifically what you're looking for. But, like, I could put in country, and I could somehow get, like, Zach Brown Band and Hardy on the same playlist.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? The
See,
more
Hardy,
specific you get, you can find things. Hardy is like rock and country.
It's country rock. That's kind of where like the subgenre kind
southern,
of
southern rock.
Southern
is
rock. I would call it.
He's
whoa,
he's
whoa.
Metal. Hardy's like
whoa.
Okay,
that kind of thing.
See,
yeah.
Hardy's
whoa,
like
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Metal. So I went to the Morgan Wallen concert in Neyland or whatever, and like it was the the widest range of like country music ever. It's like you had Ernest who opened, and he was like classic country. Like he was super good. He has this kind of. Morgan Wallen, like, made his own thing, almost. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, crappy country.
And everybody, okay. Everybody tries to emulate, like, the style he has where it's...
Yeah, where it sucks.
Okay. Okay. So, he has his own kind of style. And so, like, Ernest has one song that's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The style where he plays music that's actually just bad.
And
that
then,
style.
After that was Hardy, and it was like he had like he put some more of his country songs, and then it was actually just straight metal. It was awesome, but and then Morgan came out and he did his thing. But it was like a cool like range of like, yeah, it's all like kind of one genre, but like what defines a genre? The sound or like the lyric content? Because like that's Hardy's thing, is like his sound is metal, but the lyrics are like
I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah,
also like origin too. Like
where it comes from,
kind
mean?
Of, or like time period, like where it comes from, who the main like players in the genre
I,
are,
I
kind of
see
thing.
What you're saying, yeah. Like who's in the band?
They were talking in, know what class it was, but in college, in an audio class, we were talking about like East Coast versus West Coast, like rap and hip hop and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that has to do with like it's kind of the sound, but also like the culture around it. It's kind of interesting. Mm.
Yeah.
No idea. Anything
no, I mean,
about
I get
it,
that. I think genres are helpful, but like anything, you can take it too far. You know? I mean, it's like Carson's giving me funny looks.
Sorry.
Carson, it's like whenever you and your girlfriend are talking, but you can't put a label on it, you know?
I don't have one.
So
of
you
those.
Just call it predating.
Well, no. See, that's a label. What it is you guys are just friends who love to hang out one-on-one.
See, now I have been known to do that, but right now I'm not. So we're chilling.
So they say.
Okay.
Right now, okay. I'm not, air quotes.
To get off of this right now, this tea is insane, Carson.
Thanks.
This tea is so
What's
good.
What's the flavor?
It's like... Pumpkin what?
Pumpkin
tea. It's so good.
That's good. But What are we talking about? How did we get to that? Just,
how do we get
just
to what?
To clarify for
what,
the listeners
you and
out
your
there,
lady friends?
Don't have any right now. So
just to clarify, Carson's on the board. Ready
that's
to get
right
drafted.
Yeah, wait, what's the... Yeah, guys, what's the relationship status? Oh, wait, we're all still single. Yes!
Great.
I wonder why, guys. It's probably this podcast.
No, dude.
No, dude, this
season
is
a... 2 is when the lore happens.
Bro, shut up.
It's the development. It's the character development.
This is the development arc of us.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah, yeah. Season 1 was like setting the stage, and now like this is where the plot actually continues.
Season 1 was just world building.
Bro, shut
dude.
Shut
dude, we're November 1st, we talk about Christmas and stuff. It's actually November 1st starts your winter arc.
Oh,
so,
true.
Yeah.
I'm living my winter arc right now, dude.
Literally, man. But
all right. Well, we can mosey on along.
We're going to dive deep.
Dude, we're going like not even 10-foot deep end. We're going to the 15-foot deep end.
We're going to the Mariana Trench.
We're going
dude,
to the...
that's deep.
We're going to the... Yeah.
I love
well,
the,
I was
yeah.
gonna I was going to think of something deeper than the Mariana Trench, and there just isn't anything. It's the deepest.
Yeah, take that. Take that, bro.
All right,
what
we're going to
go... depths of God's
okay,
mercy and love?
Oh, it's shoot. Okay, no, he's got it, bro. The depths of God's mercy and love. There is no end.
Rare Seth W.
Huh?
Rare?
Rare? Okay.
JK, guys. Just kidding.
Hey, that's gamer
JK,
speak for
just kidding. Yeah, he had to clarify in case none of you know what JK means. Carson speaks in LOL TTLY.
It's called gamer speak, dude.
Bro, shut up. GTG, bro. BRB.
What does GTG mean?
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Oh.
Anyway. The deep dive for today, and I'm going to butcher the like official title, but what we're going to be yapping about is the age of comparison. So we live in a society where specifically with social media, you know, where we tend to observe the top 1% and say, gosh, I have to be like that. And they're 1%, so not everyone can be like that. Spoiler.
True.
So we're going to kind of talk about that. I'll bust the lid off with, there's so many things. We can talk about some Bible verses. Set the tone early.
I like that.
Okay.
So I've got a couple here. Obviously, the Bible talks a lot about your new identity in Christ. But I will just quote a few. So we got 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is all going to be in the English Standard Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And then here's Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And then this is the last one I'll read. This one's got my favorite word in it in the Bible. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So obviously there's heir language, we're inheritance. There is child language, like we are children, right? We are adopted to sonship through Jesus Christ, who is the Son. And then... also talks about new creation, the old has passed away, the new has come. So obviously, the difficult thing with this topic is the Bible says what we are. So if you're a Christian, that is what you are, straight up.
Yeah.
No debating that. The problem lies in our perceptions of who we are. So I don't want to talk too much, but for me personally, even within the past couple of days, I've really thought about this and considered, you know, not to get existential, but to get existential. Who am I? Who do I, you know? When I think of Corey Merida, who is that? Do I like who that is? Do I want to change who that is? So, yeah, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts. I mean, I can keep talking, but...
Yeah, I mean, this stuff, like, I think as guys, at least... Me, and I know Corey and probably Seth, but...
What do you mean, probably me?
I know Corey, probably Seth. Like, if you, like, think this way.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm always, like, a, like thinking like, okay, how can I improve, you know? And
yes, I am
thinking
that
about
way. Yes.
Like I look at the past a lot and like say, oh, I did this wrong, and like,
yeah,
it's like hard to forget that. And because you see people that are like, oh yeah, I don't know, I'm going to Jamaica for 4 weeks with my smoke show wife and all this stuff, you know, and you're like, dang, I'm here alone playing Fortnite, you know, like what's going on? And so it's easy just to get caught up in that comparison of, well, I'm not where I want to be yet. That's, I feel like that's a big factor with this, is not being content where you're at.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah,
like,
true.
Like for us, like we're all young, I'm 20 and they're 21. And so we're pretty young. Me and Corey are still in college. Seth just started his career.
I'm college age, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really easy to be like, oh, I want the next step. Like for us, like for me, the next step is like graduating, career, Corey the same. And so, like, I feel like both of us and probably Seth is like promotions and stuff. And like, we're like, I want the next thing. You know, like, I want to be married. I want to do this. I want to do this.
Right.
And
always chasing.
And like, the Lord put us in this situation for where we are now.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that's cool, like, so, me, Corey, one of our friends, Danny, started a college ministry at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I feel like, not that having a girlfriend would, like, destroy it, but, like, some people we've talked that are married now are like, yeah, it's kind of weird because it's, like, mostly single college people. And I'm like, well, if for some reason one of us was married, like, would we have started it, you know? And I feel like it's been super good. And
yeah,
it's, like, seeing, like, how the Lord works through. Maybe, like, if all of us want to be married and have kids right now or something like that, or be in career, but the Lord's using us now. Like, it's easy to forget about that and just run to what we want, you know?
Right. Always just be pushing towards that next thing.
Not that it's not bad to look towards the future and kind of prepare, but when you're living in the future, I think, I can't remember, I was reading a book, I think it was Rare Leadership, I can't remember, was talking about
so good
how, like, living in the past too much is unhealthy, living in the future too much is unhealthy, and even living in the present too much is a little unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a healthy, like,
balance.
I'm here now, looking towards the past, not to make those mistakes, looking at the future to be like, I want to be there one day.
Yeah.
But, like, still living in, like, hey, the Lord's in control. And so mm-hmm. that's, like, a big thing, like, I've had to learn in this season is, like, hey, the Lord's in control. I got to trust you. Like, leaving Lee, and then there was some other stuff that happened a few months ago, like, just trusting the Lord and be like, all right, I'm going to slow down and just let you work and let you keep pruning me and like making me the man you want me to be. But
yeah, I think it's particularly important. You talked a lot about purpose and, you know, what we do, what we strive towards. Identity drives purpose, right? Yeah. Who you are, who you perceive yourself as is what you're going to strive towards. And like, obviously there's the biblical aspect. Yes. And I, like, obviously that's the most important aspect, but one that's like very easy to see, right? It's like myself as an example. I'm in engineering at the University of Tennessee. It takes up a lot of my time. So when I think of myself, a large part of that is I am in an engineering school. That is part of who I am. I want to be an engineer one day. So I, you know, when people think about me, they think, dude, math nerd, you know, whatever, science nerd, he sits and calculates numbers all day, and I do, and it's not easy. But I guess that being said, right, identity drives purpose, and yeah, what you do, or i.e. purpose, also creates identity. So there's like this weird relationship of what you do is who you are, but who you are drives what you do.
Yeah, I definitely, like, see that, like, as far as, like, letting, like, your identity drive your purpose. So, like, I'm really now starting, like, a lot of my audio classes, and, like, I'm working super hard, and, like, this one, I'm really enjoying it. It's, like, it's called commercial music production and audio. It's, like, the first big class, and so it's a lot of reading and, like, learning, like, the terms and how stuff reacts and buffer size and all this stuff. And, like, I'm really, like, caring about it and, like, spending a lot of time working on it, you know, but with classes like, say, I had an art class or a computer science class that I didn't really care about, you know, like, I was like, all right, just get the assignments done and whatever. But, like, with these music classes, I'm, like, digging in. Like, this is, like, I want to know how this works. Like, I want to know everything I can, because, like, my goal is to have a career in audio and career in music in a church. And so, like, I'm really – those are driving me to work harder in those classes. And so, not that you should work hard in all that you do, but because it's, like, what I want to do – like, it's really pushed me to be, like, push myself in this and, like,
yeah,
really study and really read and really, like, dive into it to figure out how stuff works. But
Right.
And like, even as a Christian, like, when your identity is in Christ, like, it's going to push you to, like, to the Word and push you to prayer and, like, push you to want to dig in and, like, really understand the Word and, like, what He's
right.
trying to, like, teach you. And
yeah.
And that's where you find the contentment in Christ. When you're digging into Him and finding your identity in Him, like, you go to the Word and go to prayer and lean on Him more. But.
Yeah. It's also interesting that there's this duality and a struggle that Paul talks about. And I didn't write down the verse, but just as you were talking, I was considering, right, a Christian does something or does things that Christians do. So if I am a Christian, I will read, right? James talks yeah. about faith without works is dead, but show me your faith by your works. So faith comes first, then works. If I am a Christian, then I will do. And there's this war of you don't always want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So like I have accountability with two guys, Daniel, one of them, the guy that we're starting the college ministry with, another guy, Benjamin, who is on a former podcast episode at Southern Seminary right now. But we text each other once a day. I've been slacking with Daniel because I'm the worst. But we text each other once a day when we've read our Bible. And it's not because we hate reading our Bibles, but it's because we know that's what's best for us. And if we don't do it, we're, you know, not doing what is best for us. Yeah. So there's also a weird war inside. You know, one might argue spiritual warfare and this war of like flesh and spirit, and you know who you are, you know your identity, yet the old you fights back and like wants to see you fail. So that's another interesting point is, I guess, you know, with career and stuff, it's easy to be like, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it. And yeah, I mean, you know, you don't always want to do homework or whatever, but there, I feel like there's not really an internal war, at least for me, of like, oh, I want to be an engineer, so, but I don't want to do what an engineer does. Like, yeah, there's classes I don't like, but that's just part of it. But then for some reason, the spiritual side, like whenever it's like, you know, I don't want to read today, like there's like a big, I guess, struggle. And I mean, obviously the enemy wants that to happen, but I don't also want to give him credit for everything because also I'm a failure, you know? So I don't know. It's just interesting to consider that too of like, I know who I am. Bible says it right here. I'm an heir. I'm a son. I'm a new creation. But there's still like an internal war inside. So something interesting to think about and recognize, you know, be aware of as you live out your life. As I live out my life of like, you know, when there's this internal struggle, you can't just ignore it and pretend it's not there, right? You can't just be like, no, dude, I'm a new creation. Like, we're good. You know, now not to give it all the credit in the world and buy into it every time, but just know that the enemy's out to get you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, one thing, like going back to the Rare Leadership book I've been reading with Corey and another guy named Chase, like it talks about accountability in there, and like there almost is a little bit of like quote unquote danger with accountability. Like if it becomes like your driving factor in reading is to make somebody like see, oh yeah, he read.
Right.
And so like it's kind of goes back to the identity of make sure your identity is in Christ, but have those people that are like, that are driving you to get in the Word and reminding you, hey,
mm-hmm.
like your identity should be in the Lord. Like be reading because like you have a hunger for it, not to make me happy or to please me, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a fear aspect that comes with accountability where you're like, well, they can't know that I'm struggling or know that I'm not reading. Like,
yeah.
So there can be like a, you lie and say, oh, I read and I didn't, or it's, you're doing it out of fear and not doing it out of like love for the Lord and like wanting to grow in that.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things that there's no like answer of like, all right, do this and it's solved.
Yeah.
Like identity is one of the hardest things that like all believers struggle with. And especially like with us, like there's a lot of pressure on guys and stuff and girls too, but like to be like providers and go out and do that. And so like there's a lot of pressure, to, like be this strong, tough guy, you know, and don't have emotion and all this stuff. But like life is hard. And when we, the second we lose sight and finding our identity in Christ and find it in a job or a person or a hobby is when we like completely lose sight of what the Lord has.
That reminded me, there was this in Grace, the academy, the school that we all went to. We had chapels every Thursday. They still do. But there was this speaker one time, and he was like, he basically just like got up and was like, he was kind of like this motivational guy of like, honestly, I can't remember a ton of what he said, but I just remember walking away and being like, that guy basically like put all of his identity in his job and his family. And like when those things failed, he was like, there's literally no purpose in my life. Like there's no point. Cause like the thing that you put your identity in, like you got to put it in something that's not going to fail. Right.
Yeah.
Cause if you put it in, like I'm a drummer. So if I only put my identity in my drumming and I like break both my arms and like, I don't know, my legs get paralyzed and I can't drum anymore at all. Like I'm technically not really a drummer anymore because I can't drum, but like, I'm still a Christian. I'm still saved. Yeah. And like, that's the one thing that's never going to fail or fade.
Yeah.
Is your identity in Christ. Cause like even looking eternally, like you're not going to be an engineer 1,000 years from now.
Right.
You're not going to be a guitar player 1,000 years from now. Could be. I mean, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Listen,
I know what you're saying.
I'm no heaven expert, but
yeah.
Like Christ is the thing that is going to be the central point of all of our existence. Also, while you guys were talking, I was thinking about, now I know this is a really underground book and no one's ever read it. There's this crazy book.
Christianity.
There's this crazy book that you guys probably never heard of, and it's called Atomic Habits.
Really?
Well, I haven't read all of it, but I read a little bit of it, and it talks about basically what we were saying of like actions and your identity. So like, if I say that if I claim to be like a guitar player, and I go around telling everyone, I'm like, yeah, I'm a guitar player, and I literally never pick up a guitar, I don't own one, and I don't practice, and I don't play in front of everyone, like I'm just a liar. Like I'm not a guitar player because my actions don't align with that. But if I drum like every Sunday and, you know, I'm just drumming all the time and I'm practicing and I'm obsessed with it. Someone's like, oh yeah, you're a drummer, right? I'm like, no, I'm not a drummer. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, you are, because your actions reflect that. So yeah. Like, I think there's like a complementary thing of like...
Complementarian?
Okay, I didn't say that exactly. No, but like, you know, like what you do, like, When you do stuff, when you read your Bible, or, you know, that's the example that we were talking about earlier. But, like, your actions, I guess, just, like, complement with your identity and the fact that, like, if you do something a lot, that's going to, like, reaffirm your identity in that thing. But also, if you sit down and you think about, like, who you want to be and your identity and, you know, if I want to be someone who reads... I'm not just going to be like, I am someone who reads, I am someone who reads, I am someone who reads.
I'm going to actually
go and read a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like that identity should drive you to action. And then when you actually do read the book, you can take that action. Like that is also going to reaffirm your identity because you did the thing. And that's something that you do. So.
Yeah. I love that. I want to take it and run this way because this is a very frustrating thing for me. Well, I think I looked it up. I'm going to look it up right now. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Like, actually one.
One.
Okay, yeah. Actually two.
One, two.
Hold on.
I like that this was about comparison, and now it's just about identity. That's okay.
Well, comparison and identity,
I guess
what are you comparing?
Yeah, right.
So, if you look up what percent of Americans are Christians.
Oh, this is crazy, dude.
68%. Claim Christianity.
I call cap on that one.
That's
68%.
Claim it, yeah.
Of Americans?
Yeah.
Like, so there was this guy I knew when I worked at Food City.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have another good example.
Dude was definitely lost. Like, crazy. He's actually insane. And he was like, yeah, you know, I pray at night. I'm like, well,
Yeah.
That's cool. But, like, do you, like, follow the Lord and, like, commit your life? He's like, well, now, I know I have fun, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you, man, but.
Yeah, that's where I was running with this, is, like, you can run around and tell everybody, dude, I'm a Christian. I do what Christians do. I believe in God. And then you don't do it. Like, that's what Seth was saying, right? You can tell everybody, I'm a guitar player, and then you don't ever play guitar. Yeah. It doesn't make you a guitar player just because you keep saying it over and over and over. So that's where, you know, 68% of people will say, I'm a Christian because they want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Not 68% of people, right? Narrow is the way.
And, like, cultural Christianity and,
yeah.
like...
Yeah, which is dying.
Like familial Christianity of, like, generational, like...
Right, parents are Christians. Right, so, yes. Yeah.
It's hard to navigate that of, like, they're like, well, I'm a Christian. And it's to be like, you don't want to be like, no, you're not. Like, no.
Yeah. Right, right.
And it's like, how do you navigate? Because, like, it all circles back to the identity. Like, is your identity in the Lord? Because when you're chasing these things and you're wanting to live a life of... a worldly life and your identity is in the world and you're like, oh, I'm a Christian, like, it doesn't line up. Like, it's not, like, you can't, it's like be in the world but not of the world. And so, yeah,
dude, this made me think of an example. Me and some friends went to,
holy okay. ringer.
Sorry, ringtone's on, guys.
Was that Morgan Wallen?
Yeah, I was about to say.
No comment.
Oh my gosh.
Me and some friends went to Texas. And we met this guy at this sushi restaurant. I won't get into specifics, but basically we sat down and talked with this guy. It was a sushi bar style, so like there's one table that everyone sits at, kind of thing. And so like we were kind of sitting with this guy and he was talking with us. We walked in and we kind of already knew like this guy was definitely had some drinks. He was being foolish, and we sat down, and he's in a suit. He's with his wife, and, you know, he looks pretty rich, and we were like, okay, whatever. And this guy is just, like, really loud, using a lot of language, and obviously drinking a lot, obviously not sober. And we start talking about, like, I won't get into, like, the whole specific details of the story, but we started talking about our jobs, and most of us work at the church because, yeah, me and two other friends that were there worked at the church. So we were like, yeah, we work at a church. And because he was like, what are you guys doing? He was like, oh, yeah, you guys work at a church. Man, I'm a strong Christian, man. I believe that. You know, I drink a lot and I cuss a lot, but dude, yeah, I believe in that, man. I'm a strong Christian.
That's,
trust
that's
me.
So many people.
And
so
I was
many
like,
people.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. On one side, like we were saying, like, in terms of like actual salvation, that's something that is, on one hand, it's like, yeah, we don't know people's hearts and God does. But on another hand, you can look at the fruits of someone and be like, how, if you believe that Jesus is Lord of your life and, you know, the fundamental things of Christianity, how can you not let, like, how can you keep on doing those actions in good conscience?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, how are you not changed? Because the Bible says that you are changed.
New
you
creation.
Are, like, right, yeah. New creation. New identity.
Yeah.
So that, I was reminded of that story.
I worked construction for a summer, and I think it was junior year. And on the job site, there was this guy that had, like, Jesus tattooed all over him. The dude was, like, crazy. He's like, you know, he goes, I have a bad mouth and all this stuff. And he's like, you know, but I got him tattooed all over me, so I, you know, I love him. And I was like, yeah, I mean... I was like, do you live for him, though? And he was,
yeah.
It was just like, well, I've got him tattooed all over me, you know? And I'm like, well.
I think people want to, like, believe in Jesus and, like, be able to go to heaven.
They just don't want
to
follow him.
They just don't want to make him Lord.
Well, right, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, they don't want to give up their life now for eternity later. They want to live for themselves now and then also go to heaven and, you know. it's probably selfish. Want to live for themselves in there too.
Yeah, right.
But it just sounds better than hell. So
you're right.
Yeah. If you guys don't mind, I'll run a different avenue.
Go ahead.
Run it.
We've talked a lot about identity in Christ and all this stuff, and that is all way more important. This is just kind of goofy. I looked up some stats before going into this because, right, I want to preface. Obviously, I don't want to sit here and speak into the expectations women have. Obviously, there's beauty standards and there's lots of things and whatever. Also, Seth is chugging water over here.
Sorry, my water bottle made a funny noise.
There's all these standards that women have, and I'm not here to say anything about that because what do I know? I'm just a dude. But as for men, there's, you know, I want a guy who's over 6 feet tall and makes over six figures. So I looked up the stats. In the world stats, only 10% of the world makes over $100,000 a year. And I believe that's households, not people. Mm. In America, the number does shoot up to 34.4% as of 2022. So I still think it's households, though, is the thing. I don't think it's people's. Mm. And then 14% of men in the USA are 6 feet or taller, but
that's me.
But you might be part of these ones. 33% claim to be.
I think you can look at me and know that I'm over 6 foot.
Oh yeah, you can look at my tall and manly stature and know that I'm okay. Over 6 foot.
For the people out watching, I am 6'1".
5'11".
Wait, that's you're 6'1"?
Yes. I went to the doctor like last year. I was 6'1".
Hold on, stand up.
Hold up.
Stand off. Holy kick, my mic stand.
Sorry.
This is...
Yeah, I do. Okay.
I thought you guys just about kissed right there.
We are both 6'1 confirmed. Just had to do a little field testing.
All right, guys. Sorry.
Anyway, all that to say...
We were comparing right there. We were doing...
Yeah, we were. Guys, what are we doing?
Dude, quit comparing in the age of comparison, dude.
I just love how, like, for 30 seconds, it was just quiet, and none of y'all saw any of that.
Well, I saw it.
Well, Corey did. But
well, hey, for our Patreons, you can actually visit and donate to us, and you can see the unedited video.
That's not true. But yeah, no, maybe next time. If all of our four fans want that,
we'll maybe. Do it. Yeah. But anyway, the thing about that, right, if you take those percentages, what percentage of those people are both 6 feet tall and make over $100,000 a year as an individual? You're getting into some thin numbers, my friend. And then you also have to be good looking and you have to be jacked, but you also have to have time for family. You know, there's all these unrealistic expectations, right? And I just think it's silly how, right, perception is reality. We open social media and we see...
Social media is the worst.
Yeah, bro. Social media sucks big time. You open it and you see... people who are living their best life, like Carson said, going to Jamaica with the fam, showing off the six-pack abs, and they have like 100 bands just on their arm, like running down the sleeve or something. And you're just like, what am I doing wrong? You know?
Yeah.
But in reality, one, right, money is the root of all kinds of evil, so screw you. I'm just kidding. But, right, perception is reality, but it's not. Our perception, in our eyes, we think that is reality for them. But typically, to do that, right, to look like you live a luxurious life, you probably are in financial issues.
Yeah.
Like, there's
like
a lot
you
of...
You don't know their side.
Right, yeah. Yep. Like, there's tons of people... I know, I hear people all the time who, like, you know, oh, I want to have a nice, big, new truck. And they'll go get, like... They'll have bad credit and be paying, like, $1,200 a month of a car payment for like a Ram, you know, big old Ram
Raptor
truck
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, dude, that's so cool. T71. He probably makes so much money. Like he's got a big truck. And meanwhile, homie's struggling to make payments, like going into debt. I'm not saying that's everybody. There are people who just straight up are loaded and they,
yeah,
you know, whatever. Right. But one, if we go back to identity in Christ, none of that even really matters. But obviously, it's not evil either, and I wouldn't personally hate to have it. but that's where it's like we're in this age where it's hard for young people to try and figure out, you know, look up to who they want to be.
Especially for young people and social media, dude. Like, social media, like, obviously, we all know that you see the highlights of someone on social media. Yeah. And, you know, even, like, even if it's not even just, like, people you, like, follow or you're, like, you're friends with on social media or whatever, like, even just, like, when you're doom scrolling and you just, like, see people, you know, making a meme or, like, you know, doing something, like, even those, even that, like, shapes your perception of, like, what someone should be. Like, when you turn your, like, speaking from experience, when you turn your phone off and you, like, you go out in the real world and you just, like, drive around or, like, go to a grocery store or something, so many people are just, like, normal and average. Like, not, like, no, like, the majority of the population isn't just walking around just like 10 out of 10s, super rich. Like, all so many people are just normal. And I think in terms of, like, we were kind of talking about, like, relationships a little bit, and, like, you know, finding a significant other. I think on both sides, men and women, like, people just want a perfect, like, aesthetic,
yeah, they want a
social
white
media person, yeah, like a Pinterest boy or girl.
Yeah, everybody wants their Romeo to their Juliet.
Right.
Except they don't kill themselves in the end.
Yeah. That would not be ideal. But yeah, like, everyone has a life that is as complex and, you know, as yours. Like, and everyone has, like, you know, we have experiences that no one else knows about, and everyone else has those too. And I think sometimes we forget that, like, we're all just people.
There's this guy going around social media, and I think his name's like Zacharific or something.
Like, Zacharific.
Don't like promote the guy. Like,
yeah, actually go on his channel and type in, "We hate you."
Probably not a Christian, but he's kind of like making fun of this whole thing, or he wears like shirts that say like I'm humble, and like he's like a bigger dude, and he's like making fun of people that like go on social media and just like flaunt their money. Like, he'll like get fake money and like make it drop out of his pockets. And he's like, "Yeah, oh sorry, that's just." and like he like posted something and was like, "I'm at like Sydney Sweeney's crib or something." Like, just tries to like make fun of the social AI. And he's like, "All right, like, why do we care about this stuff?" And it's cool to see that. Like, one thing I was thinking about is like, how much of it, it's like social media, I feel like as a whole has changed. So like when I think I got Instagram, I don't know, when I was middle school, maybe like early middle school, sixth grade, maybe.
Which is not going to happen with my children, by the way.
Wouldn't happen with mine either.
Yeah.
But back then, like my memories of Instagram was like following my friends that I played football with. Yeah. Like posting like their toys on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like just like crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, I feel like it's changed to the point now where it's like you have to look perfect on social media, to where like I see people that are like kids that like are like, I don't know, like 10 going out there wearing their Versace and Lululemon. I'm like, what is actually happening?
Yeah, it's because that's going to blow up, right? And social media used to just be so you could hang out with friends. And now because of ad revenue and whatever else, you can get a money grab off of it. So everybody wants to be an influencer. Or at least just make you think that their life is perfect.
Yeah.
I think what it used to be was like kind of like a, hey, this is what's actually happening in my life. And now it's turned into, this is what I want you to, yeah, this is what I want you to think is happening in my life. Yeah. Just stupid. I mean, dude, Seth said something along the lines of like, we're all just people. Like, we all have our own stuff. I was thinking about this, like, Rick Barnes is coming to our church this Thursday. Today is Saturday. Which is really cool. If you don't know who Rick Barnes is, you should.
Go Vols.
Yeah, go Vols, baby. But he's the head coach of Tennessee basketball, and he's a strong believer Christian. And he's coming to speak. And I was like, man, like, Brian, our head of discipleship and men's ministry. He is a mentor in all of our lives. And I was talking to him about Rick Barnes, and he was like, yeah, he's driving over straight from practice. He lives in Knoxville. Like, he's just a dude. Like, I don't know. When I hear head coach Rick Barnes being like a Tennessee, right? Yeah. Being a Tennessee basketball fan my whole life, I'm like, dude, he's getting pulled up in a limo. They're dropping him off. Like, dude, he's just getting in his car, driving over, saying something, eating some chili. Like, he's just a dude. He doesn't charge any commission to show up.
Super cool.
Yeah. Like, he's
a guy.
Yeah. He's just
a guy doing dude things, you know?
Yeah. He's just a guy, dude. He's driving over practice. Hope he's not late. If he is, you know, and at the end of the day, everyone's just people, right? Even if you're the president of the United States, whoever that ends up being, not to get political, but November 5th is election day. November.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So next podcast.
Go vote. All right, guys. New fun question. Who did you vote for?
New fun question. Are you a liberal or a Democrat?
Well, your actions
Democrat?
Determine your identity, so, you know.
Actually, my whole identity is in the politics.
God bless the USA.
Dude, I actually was going to bring up politics, but I felt like it was a little spicy. But I'll bring it up right now because we are talking about it. So there's this concept of binary worldview, and it doesn't just apply to politics, but typically it's in that realm of you take generalized things, or this even happens, like, you know, you get out of a toxic relationship and you're like, dude, all women suck. Or, you know, you're a Democrat or you're a Republican and you think the other side is the worst. They're all evil. But again, we are all just individuals with our own individual experiences. Now, that's not to say that you can have, like, atrocious takes. Like, I think there are absolute truths in life. I'm not saying everything is relative. Do not hear me wrong. There is a lot of absolute.
You're of the world or you're of Christ.
Yeah, exactly. But, right, I'm not, you know, politics aside, let's just make it relationships so that way it's easier to yap about and not touch people's. Wait, I was going to say something not cool. Not step on people's feet. I was going to say not touch people's feet, and that's really weird.
I've never heard
that. No, step on toes. Step on toes.
Step on toes.
That's what you're thinking.
Step on feet. Step on toes.
All right, let's
potato, tomato,
yeah,
tomato,
yeah, it's
potato.
All the same. It's all the same. Anyway, right, like relationships, you get out of a toxic relationship where you feel like you were manipulated, and let's say you're a guy, and they ran your pockets, you know, they took all your money because they were like, buy me nice things, buy me dinner, I want to go to Ruth Chris, I want to go to, well, give me my Louis, give me my Gucci. And then, you know, they do all that and break up with you and take the money and run. Steve Miller Band. Yeah. Like, right, then it's easy for your perception to, like, going into any other relationship, just, dude, all women are the worst. And that's wrong. In the same way that, you know, if a girl is manipulated by a guy and she says all guys are the worst, that's wrong. It's not true. Everyone is an individual. Everyone has their own experiences. And so tying it back to comparison and self-worth, right? You can't go either way, right? You can't say, oh, I'm in a great relationship with a guy, or I'm, you know, I love Republicans, so all Republicans are good. You know, you can't just make those conclusions. Those are false conclusions. And that's what I feel like a lot of people do, bro. Like, yeah. A ton of people. And not just with politics, not just relationships. Take it with anything. I love music. All musicians are cool people. I love football. Everyone who loves football, I'm a Steelers fan. Steelers fans are awesome.
I love country. Every country song is good. Genres?
But yeah, I mean, I guess I just wanted to bring that up in the sense that with comparison, there's a tendency to things I like, people who like that, they're good people. Things I don't like, people who don't like that, I guess if you agree, right? Basically, if we agree, you're a good person. If we disagree, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
That's just not true.
True. True.
True.
Well, sorry. Yeah. If you guys got nothing to add, I can keep yapping because I got more, but
Yeah. Politics are wild because especially like during election season, people are pretty fired up about it. And right. I'm one of those political junkies that like love researching and watching videos.
Can you tell us what subscription you have?
No. But
I'll tell them. Hey, everybody, Carson pays for Daily Wire Plus. Can we just acknowledge this? He says, quote, there are good TV shows on there.
Okay, so.
Yeah, anyways, moving on.
Moving past that one. Yeah, like it's so easy to be like, all right, like somebody else is Republican. Yes. Or like same with Democrats. They're like, yeah. Like,
yeah. Democrat good, Republican bad. Rah, rah, rah.
Like it's so easy to get caught up in that. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, yes, go out and vote. Like, it's important. Like, have your opinions. But, like, the Lord's on the throne. Trying back to identity. Like, if your identity is in Christ, it is okay if whoever wins is not who you want, you know?
Yeah.
But, sorry, that's my little side note there.
Yeah, well, kind of just jumping all over the place. I had a call yesterday. I was sitting in Hodges Library at the University of Tennessee. Normally, I sit there with one of our buddies, Mason, but he's actually at Disney World right now. So I got there at like 12. My class isn't until, well, I had a class at 3 that I skipped, but my class really isn't until 4 because if you skip it, it doesn't count. So I'm sitting there for hours, right? And as I'm doing homework, I've had this one assignment where basically I just sit there and wait on this video to play so I can answer questions. So I'm just sitting there kind of wondering in my mind about different things. And I was thinking about, so Carson mentioned this book. I've been reading it. He's been reading it. Seth, do you own Rare Leadership?
No.
Okay. It's a great book. It's called Rare Leadership. I don't remember who it's by. It's like I apologize.
Jim Wilder and...
That's right. Yep.
I forgot the other guy.
But yeah, I recommend it to any breathing Christian. Emphasis on breathing. You have to be alive to read.
Mm.
But
mm.
But super good. And the acronym RARE is let's see if I can get it all. Remain relational, act like yourself, return to joy, and endure hardship well. Mm. And I was kind of sitting and thinking through those. And act like yourself kind of made me get all existential on them. And like at the beginning, I was like, who am I? Right? To act like myself, I have to know who I am. And so in the book, it was talking about when you're leading others, because it's a book about leadership, hence the name Rear Leadership. When you're leading others, you need to act like a dude, right? Like Rick Barnes, for instance. He's like, yeah, I'll just drive over after practice. Like he's just a guy. You don't have to change who you are to be this iron-fisted or to change who you are to be this soft-hearted, I care so much about everything leader, right? Be who you are because people are going to appreciate that more than you putting on any sort of character. Mm. And so when I was thinking through that, even outside of leadership, even just in intrapersonal relationships, I had to consider who am I because – whenever I hang out, so this is where I'm getting with. I was sitting there considering these things, and I called, who might be on the next episode, Chase Reynolds. And I love that guy to death. We hang out at least once a week, at least try to. But I called him, because whenever I hang out with him, like, this other side of me comes out that is just menace. Like, anything he says, I'm just like, yeah, yeah, dude, frick you. Dude, screw you. Like, we have our version of accountability is like, dude, have you read today? If not, just screw you. You're the worst. Like, it's joking. We're just having fun and just teasing. But I was thinking we went to this Halloween party, and this is the whole line that I thought through when I was sitting there in Hodges. We went to this Halloween party, and we saw some old friends from high school that we hadn't seen in a while. And, like, naturally, kind of like that, you know, frick you attitude, just like, popped out of like, you know, we're hanging out and we're just chilling and like, let's say somebody loses in Foursquare and I'm just like, dude, screw you, you suck, and they like actually are offended and I'm like, wait, I'm just kidding.
You're not Chase.
Yeah, I'm like, crap, this is like who I'm becoming.
Wrong personality.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm not shaping who I'm supposed to be for this moment. Right? I'm not changing. I'm not being the chameleon I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Fitting into this environment. And so that's where I was like breaking down, who do I want to be? Do I really want to be the guy that's known as like the screw you, do better, you know? Or even just like the take everything to the extreme guy? Or can I not just be a guy that like loves on people well, you want to be around him, he encourages you every time you see him? And so I called him and we talked about this stuff, but that's something where, again, it just loops back around. Identity drives purpose. Actions drive identity. You can't lie, and you can't lie yourself into being something you're not. But that's something that I just thought would really pertain to this, with the whole, you know, who am I? Act like myself. Well, who is myself? And then also, there's kind of that pressure of like, who am I in this environment? So that book talks about brain chemistry, and like your brain has a big herd mentality component of like, true, you're not going to be the same person in every environment. The goal is you should be, but like when I'm on Carson and Seth and we're podcasting and we're, you know, whatever, I'm not going to be the same as if it's 12:30 and I'm on the video game being an idiot, just like,
yeah,
just do yourself. Or like bad.
Even with different, yeah,
literally
people
last night.
Yeah,
like that is a very good point, because I feel convicted about that. Like the difference between me and sitting down and talking with you guys versus me talking with like my boss, or you know, I think for me it has to definitely do with like an age difference and like a like relational difference, where, yeah, like I have like really close friends who I can, I feel like I can be more quote myself around, yeah, I guess.
Right.
And then there's like people that I don't know as well, where I kind of have to, you know, put up a little bit more of a wall.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, is that a good thing to do? I mean, I think to a degree, like you shouldn't be like, you know, you should spill all your guts to everyone you know.
Right. There's some wisdom there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's tact with that. But it's a good point. Like, I was telling Corey this thing that I noticed like a few years back, and I'm really self-conscious about it. But like,
oh, gosh.
Dude.
Is this what I think it is?
No.
Okay.
Probably not. Okay. But my laugh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. My laugh will like sometimes. And I think I've gotten better about this, but I've noticed over the years, like I look back, I'm like, what the heck? My laugh will change depending on who I'm around. And yeah, that it's completely like involuntary.
You mimic.
Dude, it is involuntary.
That hurt mentality.
Yeah, I can't help it. And since becoming aware of that, I'm trying to be like, let's be Seth and not, you know, the funniest guy in the room and just copy him, you know?
Yeah.
Because I tend to do that, so.
Well, there's mimicking, right? Like you want, people are often going to give off what they think is best. Like, for instance, if we're talking and I just don't shut up about football, then obviously football has a high priority in my life. So then you wanting to please me would obviously want to bring up football when you see me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, there's an aspect of wanting to people please. And I don't think it's wrong to people please. Like, honestly, I think
it's relationships.
Yeah. Like, it's a selfless thing, if anything. But doing it out of the wrong heart, the wrong motive.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's manipulative people pleasing, and then there's just loving on people.
Like, yeah. Like, are you actually genuinely interested in that person? Or, like, are you just trying to do it so that you can look like a cooler guy?
Right. Yeah, because like, you know, you've got your people, right? Like when I think Seth, I think if I was going to sit down and talk with Seth, what would I talk about? Probably music, probably maybe video games, maybe memes or something, I don't know, but church, you know, theology. And then I think of Carson, you know, there's some overlap of like music, theology, church, yes, but then like, you know, we can talk more sports, football, Tennessee sports, right? where Seth isn't really in that realm. And that's not wrong. You know, I wouldn't say that's changing who I am. That's just changing the information we transact.
Yeah.
But there's this weird delicacy of who am I? Who am I in this moment? But then be who you are, right? Don't transform. Like you said, like transforming your laugh, which I've done. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Somebody laughs and you're like, you instinctively laugh how they just did.
Dude, yeah, it's so weird. I hate it.
And there's that mob mentality, man, of comparison, right? Going back to comparison. You want to please. You want to. And it's also weird because you can do that from a healthy place. If you want to please them because you love them, right?
Yeah.
But, oh, gosh, yeah. There's layers and layers you can just unfold with all of it.
I think also, like, remember that the things that we are talking about have all been in relation to other people. Like, who are you when you're by yourself?
Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah.
Because that's, I guess you would say that's, like, the most defining of who you actually are is when you're just alone.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you're alone? And what do you think about? And who are you when you're alone? It's something to think about too.
I was thinking about, you know how like there's that joke that is kind of not a joke where like you just go to a group setting and you're just being the funny guy the whole time, just trying to get people to laugh, and you get home and you just sit down and you just, oh gosh, you just
depressed.
Yeah, you just die right there. You're just like, gosh. You know, you're just a zombie.
Yeah, right.
You're just an actual zombie. Like, that's real.
Yeah.
Literally me, dude. Literally me.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Dude, this is really dumb, but made me think about it. This is dumb. Okay.
All right. Double dumb preface.
I'm doubling
means
down.
This is about to be
this
stupid.
Is from, this is from incoming.
This is from regular show.
Let's go.
And there's this part where Rigby is talking with Benson, and he's like, they get like really real, and Rigby's like the just punching bag, funny guy,
yeah,
like completely just absolute fool of the show, and he's like, clowns cry too sometimes, man. Clowns cry too.
That's so...
And I'm like, oh, that's so deep.
Dude, shut up.
Well, on that note...
Yeah, anyways...
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, the root of comparison, you always try to unpack the, you know, that's the Christianese term. Let's unpack that, you know? And so,
Let's unpack
like,
that.
I feel like the
let's
root...
Let's hold back those layers.
The biggest root of comparison is identity, like as we've talked about. It's like making sure that your identity is found in Christ. Because if, like, I don't think anybody's ever going to be like, I've achieved my full identity is in Christ. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be like, I 100% am there.
Well, yeah.
Like, everybody's going to struggle with that. But, like, that's the biggest root of comparison is, like, when you're in Christ and you're like, he's made me the way he wanted me. Like, I'm made in his image. Like, it's okay if I'm not that person or if I'm not there right now. Like,
yeah.
That's the biggest, like, maybe the driving home point of this conversation is, like, keeping your identity in Christ. Because when you do that and when you like strive for him and like have a hunger for the word and hunger for prayer and those gospel conversations and like those theological talks with brothers and like building each other up, like that's when you're like, all right, like I'm in Christ and like he has me where I'm at right now and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally sanctification, right? You look back and say, I'm not who I am. And you look forward and you say, I'm not who I'm going to be. And you look at Christ and you say, I want to be that. Like,
yeah,
you know, talking about social media and all this, we all look at something and maybe say, gosh, I would like to be like that, right? Whether it's more fit or have more money or whatever, have a happier family. You can look at things and say, I want that. But ultimately, the I want that should be to be like Christ.
Yep.
And obviously, that has other things that come along with it, because to be like a person, right, the ultimate role model. Because ultimately, right, comparison can kind of lead to this role model thing where you have these people that maybe you wouldn't say you look up towards them, but maybe you look up at them and say, I want what they have. Or you could just blatantly say, I want to be the Rock. You know, I don't know.
True.
But I mean, I basically am, so yeah, I don't know. Right.
You
know.
Yeah, Corey basically is.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing about this whole thing is I don't struggle with any of this because you all look up towards me.
Yeah, that's okay. Corey's like ripped. He can bench like 300 pounds.
300? Like, I benched that when I was 15.
Oh, yeah, dude. Sorry. Yeah.
Anyways.
All that to say, me just not being an idiot.
Also, while you were talking, it made me think about like how when we die and go to heaven, our bodies are going to be made new. And, you know, I can't remember exactly. I think it's in like Revelation or whatever. But like our bodies are going to be made like Christ, right?
Glorified.
Right? Glorified, yeah.
Yeah.
And conform to the image of Christ, like,
yeah.
Am I wrong? Is that
no? I mean, right? I mean, I don't. The wording, like, conform to the image of Christ. I'm I don't know where somewhere. It says that.
If it's wrong,
I'm sure it's in whatever, there. I don't know. I know we I'm get glorified. Saying, like, I know that's the right terminology.
Like, people who like if you're a Christian,
big if.
If you're a Christian, like. You shouldn't want to be more like yourself. Like, I'm yeah. saying, like, you should try and find that in Christ. Because in eternity, like, not saying that you're going to literally become Jesus. I'm saying that Jesus is going to be, like, the main point of eternity. Like, he's right. going to be the central focus. So, like... I don't even know where I'm going, yeah. but just
I see what you're
don't
saying.
Be selfish. And I'm talking to myself here, but try not to be selfish in thinking that, like, I want to be a good person for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not hedonists. We're Christians.
There's
yeah.
this song that I know both of y'all know, because we used to do it all the time, and it's called More Like Jesus. And is that, like, you don't know it, or...
No, I'm make just making a goofy face because like I heard Jesus. That.
When more of you means less of me, take everything.
Yeah.
Like, you're all I
that
need.
That is such a hard thing, dude.
And then it's like we can say it, but like, do we mean it? And then, like, oh, Lord, change me like only you can. Like, it's like here with my heart in your hands, like, make me more like you, you know? And it's like that cry of, like, we just need to be like, Lord, like, make me more like you, because Christian means little Christ. Like, that's, like, what it means.
Right.
And it's like, Lord, make me more like you. Lord, shape me, mold me, prune me. Lord, make me... more like you. Like, that needs to be our prayer. It's like, when we're like that, and like, that's the only comparison we need to have, like, as believers, like, look to the Lord and be like, Father, make me like you, like, make me like your son. And yeah, that's I feel like that's the kind of the overarching thing with this, is like, the comparison needs to be like with the Lord. Like, yes, strive to be better, but make your ultimate goal like being more like Christ.
Right.
Well, take up your cross and die to yourself.
One might
and follow
say.
Me. It's yeah. a crazy aspect of, like, literally, like, you know, make me more like Jesus, not more like myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard.
Look at Paul, right? Philippians 3. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day. Basically.
He's
if,
him.
Yeah. Basically, if you could earn it, I've done it. But you can't.
Yeah.
You know? Just both encouraging and humbling.
Yeah.
Of good thing is, I don't have to earn it. Bad thing is, I have to give up myself. Not bad, but difficult, I guess it was a better word. Difficult thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess to kind of wrap up, unless y'all have anything like brewing up, but like the biggest, I mean, it's just like we can't stress enough your identity being in Christ. Like, it's one of those things that, not that, I don't know if putting on the back burner is a term, but like, I kind of forget about it. I get in the motions of, all right, I get up, do school, go to work, play the guitar, like, do these things. And I'm like, not like the daily affirmation thing, like people do or whatever, but like, it's like when you're in prayer, like, Lord, thank you for like making me in your image, you know, yeah. like reminding yourself daily, like I'm made in the Lord's image. And I'm like made to glorify him, you know, and like he loves us so much that he sent his son to die. And so it's like, why would we not want to be more like him? Like the ultimate like sacrifice in the form of love, and like all these attributes that we claim as ours are all God's. Like everything comes from Him.
Yeah, you know, like true
love, joy, peace, so patience, true. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, joy. Like all these things come from the Lord, and we claim them as us. But like, why would we not want to be more like Him? Because He is those yeah, things.
Literally,
like those aren't just like attributes. Like He is like joy. Like He is
yeah,
love.
Yeah.
And it's like that's where, like, I feel like we fall short is we forget like He is those things, and so a lot of these things like we might be chasing other people. Like, oh, they're so. Like they're always so happy all the time. Like, well, that came from the Lord. Like the like He is joy.
Yeah,
so true. And so like we just like the biggest thing is seeking the Lord and like what He has and His identity. Like what He has called us to be.
Good word, bro.
I think the hardest part is like knowing that versus
doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say knowing it in your head versus knowing it in your heart, right? Because I can say that's the right answer all the time, every time, but then practicing is where things get difficult, especially in day-to-day life. Like you said, you know, it's difficult, just stupid personal example, to sit in Hodges Library and watch a video on impedance for 4 hours and be like, you know, what would Christ do in this moment? Like, I guess He would just watch the video. I don't know. That's just a stupid example. But anyway, yeah, to wrap up, totally agree. And all of that, right? Anything that's good in this world comes from the Lord. Anything that's bad is a product of sin.
Yeah.
And so why would you not want to put all your identity in the Lord?
Yeah.
Right?
So true. Well, I don't know how long we just talked for, but if you made it to the end, thank you for being loyal and great. I know, like, the four fans we have that have been asking us to do this again. Like, if you made it to the end, thank you. You know who you are.
That's right.
But
I'm going to shout out one of them.
Shout him out.
Chase Klein.
Chase Klein.
This kid
is a freshman in high school, and he loves the intern office. And he has been begging us to do it.
Has he approached all three of us individually?
Yes. Yeah.
Him and Nathan.
Yeah.
They both have been.
I think Nathan might be a poser, though.
You think he's like, whoa.
Call him out.
We can't drop it on the podcast.
No, I'm calling him out right now. I said, Nathan was like, dude, it's so good. You got to make more. I said, what episode are you on? He said, I'm almost done with two.
Okay, here's what we'll say. Nathan, if you're listening right now,
if you're listening,
come tell me.
And then the next episode
we will say he's a real one.
Yeah,
that's the challenge.
If Nathan comes up to us and says something about this, then we know he's a real one.
Yeah, that's it.
But Chase, you can't tell him.
Chase, don't tell him because we know you're listening because you're a real one.
Chase is a real one.
So, anyways, as always, guys, welcome to the intern office.